is on the line now. Of course, I have Susan Lohan, and she's co-founder of Adoption Rights Alliance, the Adoption Rights Alliance. Good afternoon, Susan. How are you?
Good morning, Johnny. How are you?
It's Noel, actually.
Oh, sorry, no.
No problem at all. Yeah. Johnny's a producer. You're probably talking to him
earlier.
Yeah,
I've been in touch with him all week. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
No problem at all. No problem at all. Just about the debate in the Dáil, before you come on, you were saying that it is not going on at the moment. Tell us what the situation is at the moment.
Right. Well, the bill is essentially a very awful bill that Minister Catherine de Pone has largely inherited from her predecessor, James Riley. And he published it in July 2015. It then went through what we call pre-legislative scrutiny, and that's where the committee, the Joint Oireachtas Committee on Health and Children, would have a look at the bill and would take into account criticisms of the bill from wider society and what are known as non-governmental groups. So I'd say there were about 15 participants from general society and from the NGO sector. Also the HSE, and what is astonishing is that during the pre-leg scrutiny stage, every single group said that James Riley's bill was appalling because it stops short of criminalising adopted people for wanting to make contact with their natural parents. That's, you know,
okay,
that's
yeah.
If they manage to get their hands on the information. Now, unfortunately, Catherine de Pone didn't take on board all of those criticisms, and she has really left James Riley's bill untouched. So instead of being asked to sign a statutory declaration that we won't contact our natural parents, we've been asked to sign an undertaking if this bill goes ahead. Now, that whole idea, it's so discriminatory. It creates very, very negative stereotypes of adopted people in the country, mm-hmm. stereotypes which are simply not true. It sets us out as being a danger to our natural parents. So it's repugnant in so many areas and is really not the kind of bill that you'd expect Catherine de Pone, as a champion of equality, to actually be pushing through.
Okay.
Now, fortunately for us, the minister was unavailable to debate the bill in the Senate last week. And we hope that, as it has dropped off the schedule, that the minister will take the time then to, you know, consider, I think, the very well-intentioned feedback that our group and others have given her on this.
Okay, so you think the reason you use the word fortunately is because you don't think maybe she had a chance to read through it and she might have just skipped?
Well, I think there's so many. We've all bought into the narrative. Mm-hmm. That adopted people are not entitled to their basic information on their identities and their families of origin and their early care records and their medical records. I don't know why that is, but that was certainly the case before the information about the Toon Babies investigation broke on March 3rd. But the world has changed since March 3rd because people, Irish people, are waking up to the fact that best, children were horribly neglected in mother and baby homes the length and breadth of the country. At worst, they believe now that sinister things were possibly afoot.
Mm-hmm.
So they're now asking questions and making comments. Well, if these sinister things were going on in mother and baby homes, maybe the whole adoption industry was not above board.
Okay, can I ask you... Sorry, I just want to interrupt you there. I'm sorry for doing so, but it's just maybe in my naivete or ignorance, if you want to use that word, to ask a question. I'm sure there's been lots of babies in Ireland adopted over, the past 20 years. Would that be a fact?
Not so many in the last 20 years.
Okay, well, even if you had... Okay, well, let's say even if you had six... It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Numbers don't matter here.
Yeah.
But does the same rules apply in this bill to them where documents would be redacted?
You are absolutely right, Noel. So not only would this bill propose to discriminate against the potential population of up to 90,000 people looking for their basic information, but incredibly, it doesn't envisage a change of model for those who are people who are not yet born, not yet adopted, and upon reaching their 18th birthday. So this really retrograde model would be imposed on the most, the youngest generation of adopted people, mm-hmm. you know, circa, we just, you know, 2035. So that's also incredible that there's a complete lack of foresight at the Department of Health and Children, that not only are they not prepared to implement legislation or design legislation that our nearest neighbours in Northern Ireland and England have enjoyed since the mid-70s,
okay.
but they're actually talking about imposing a really retrograde model
okay.
well into the 21st century.
Well, as I said, like about information being redacted from submitted documents, I don't want to harp on about it, but it seems to me that a lot of people now are more open-minded about everything, whether it's the children who have been adopted and have grown up, say in the past 20 years or maybe reach yeah. in the last 18 years, or even now if someone is thinking of having a child adopted, that they would ask more questions now. And I'm sure, is it not explained to them what the legislation is? Well, do you realise that if you put your child up for adoption, that we're not going to give them all the information required? And can they say, well, listen, I want them to know everything? What way would that work? Or am I sort of going off track here?
Well, no, I think you're right, Noel, that... because there's no legislation underpinning adopted people's rights. In fact, Barry Andrews, in 2010, when he had an opportunity to rewrite all of Ireland's adoption legislation, and he did, he actually declined the opportunity to even include the right to know you are adopted. So I'd say at least twice a month, Adoption Rights Alliance gets a phone call or an email or a letter mm-hmm. from somebody in their 50s, 60s, 70s who has just discovered they are adopted. And that situation will prevail until we get legislation which, instead of facilitating adoption agencies or adoptive parents, that our legislators would stop to think about the basic human rights of the people being adopted. And it's astonishing that they haven't woken up to the glaring anomaly in our legislation.
Okay. I just want to add, I mean, are the rights differently? As I said, it might be through ignorance again, I'm asking these questions, because I'm sure a lot of people listening, like, that never have anything to do with adoption, sort of finding this all
yeah.
rather strange. So if I go for, or anybody goes for a birth certificate, are they not entitled to the same information across
no,
the board, everybody?
No, incredibly. And you see, I think your listeners should also ask themselves, you know, who is it serving to keep all of this information secret and concealed? And I think the answer to that is, well, it's serving the vested interests of the Catholic Church, the Church of Ireland, and, of course, the state, who all facilitated forced and illegal adoptions in Ireland. So as an adopted person, I cannot walk into the General Registrar's office. I can't go online and request my birth cert because I don't know what my original name is. And we are denied that information in perpetuity. And in fact, we're admonished by the state and by TUSLA for wanting to have this information. We're constantly being told, oh, think of the number of people you'd upset and think of the natural mothers. These are basic human rights that the rest of the world engenders, in international UN conventions and the EU likewise.
But I thought the freedom from information entitles everybody to all information, no matter what
yeah.
it is. Once they ask for it, they have to be given it.
Well, you'd think. Now, in fact, the appropriate mechanism that people should use when requesting their personal information is called a data protection request.
Okay.
Or data protection application, DPA for short. And believe it or not, our birth certs are specifically excluded from that. And this new bill, were it to proceed, would actually exclude our original files from these applications and would actually allow social workers with equally vested interests to compile a very subjective summary of our records. So if, for example, somebody had been a victim of an illegal vaccine trial, which was very, very frequent in the mother and baby homes, the social worker could decide to
omit that. Just on that point, has that been established for fact?
Oh, absolutely. Justice Mary Lefoy, who's, of course, chair of the Citizens Convention, she resigned from her post as the chair of the Commission to Investigate into Child Abuse when the courts refused her leave to investigate illegal vaccine trials, even though she'd managed to collate information from these huge pharmaceutical giants in the US and the UK, all of which handed information on their trials, which included children in mother and baby homes, to the state. And that investigation never proceeded, but now we're calling on Justice Yvonne Murphy, who's chair of the Commission of Investigation into Mother and Baby Homes, to pick up where Justice Lefoy left off.
And why hasn't there been more protests? Sorry again for interrupting you. Why hasn't there been more protests over the years, or more representation over the years, over all these anomalies to do with people who?
Well, Noel, I have grey hairs and wrinkles, you know, from spending 17 years making representations on these subjects, and it's like, you know, for the last 17 years, people have gone, yeah, okay, and now they're going, you what? And it's because Tuam has shifted the earth under our feet, because people before couldn't believe that particularly orders of nuns would have been so deliberately cruel, number one, and number two, they could not believe that the nuns would have engaged in illegal activities. Tuam has changed their beliefs fundamentally. They now believe everything that we've been saying about what went on in Ireland's forced adoption industry.
Of course, there are ongoing investigations over everything these days.
Yes.
So, do you look upon sort of a Catherine Sapone then as being the one to change things now? And how long do you think it'll take?
I think Catherine Sapone is the one to change things, because she has an excellent record on equality issues. She was, you know, very much to the front of the marriage equality campaign. I think the fact that she's not Irish is a huge advantage, because I think when things are hidden in plain sight, we can all become desensitized. You know, I mean, what's coming out now about mother and baby homes? Adoption Rights Alliance has been saying for the last 17 years, and people just either didn't want to hear it or didn't actually appreciate the significance of it. And what's happened as a result of Tuam, as a result of the film Philomena, is that the world at large has shone a mirror back at us, and it has shown us our very, very awful reflection. And we are now waking up to the dreadful things that we as a nation, in concert with our politicians, in concert with Catholic Church, the Church of Ireland, what we did to our most vulnerable citizens.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think as well, information is of course the key to all of this. And as I said, I'm ashamed to admit that I didn't know about a lot of these things. I don't mean what was going on. I mean, we all know that now. But I'm talking about the legislation and about the discrimination against people not being able to get information. I just didn't know that. In this day and age, like as I said, freedom of information. I'd say most of the public just don't know that.
Yeah, and I've, you know, if anybody's out there, be it an adopted person, a sibling of an adopted person, I really want to reach out to families who've been fractured by the whole adoption process. Because without a doubt, Ireland practiced a policy of forced adoption. So unmarried mothers from the formation of the state up until the 1990s, incredibly, were effectively forced to give up their children.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those women believed that they did something wrong. And I think we all need to be out hollering from the rooftops, you did nothing wrong. It was the state and various churches which forced you into this position.
Well, I would.
And I think anybody who has a female relative who they think might have been in the situation where they did lose a child to adoption, I would really urge them to reach out and offer that relative the greatest amount of support and encouragement. Because, you know, every day I talk to mothers who've lost their children to adoption. And even though they might not have told anybody, they all say one thing, which is that they wake up every morning and they think about their lost child. Now, I think in Ireland we're good at acknowledging grief. I think we honour the dead very well, except the poor children buried mm-hmm. in tombs and other similar places. But I think for somebody to go through their life with an unacknowledged grief, it has a very, very detrimental effect on their health. We would be doing those people a huge service if we as a society can open our hearts and acknowledge our misdeeds as a society. And we should encourage and facilitate all of those people who want information on how they lost their children. Mm-hmm. We should facilitate adopted people who want to know how they were taken for adoption. And we should not set out to either, in the case of adopted people, to demonize them. And in the case of natural mothers, we shouldn't, stereotype them as vulnerable, fragile creatures who we shouldn't ask to discuss the whole issue again. This is Ireland's dark underbelly, and it needs to be investigated most thoroughly.
Anyone affected by this in any way obviously can get in touch with the Adoption Rights Alliance, get all the information that they can. I think that's, as I say, that's king to everything, is they getting the information.
Give us your website, Susan. Yeah, it's
adoptionrightsalliance.com.
It's all one word. Mm-hmm. But we also have a Facebook page with a very, very vibrant and active peer support group. So anybody who's contemplating applying for their information, we can offer them the best advice on that.
Okay.
Anybody who's experiencing problems with TUSLA or other private adoption agencies, we can offer them advice on that.
Okay.
And then most of all, they'll get that emotional support from people in their same position as they are.
Okay, and just finally, as regards Catherine Sapone, I hope that it's sooner rather than later. And there's lots and lots of things happening in the government at the moment that it doesn't get lost in the melee and the haze of everything that's happening in the government at the moment. So
we're hoping the same.
Okay. Will you make personal representation to her?
We
have done already. Okay.
We are in regular contact with the department, and our feeling is that, Catherine Sapone, as I say, she's coming at this with a set of fresh eyes, and we would definitely encourage her to do the right thing, because in the 1990s, Mike Malott, a former RTE journalist, he wrote a book on the trafficking of children, of Irish children and babies, to the US for adoption.
Mm-hmm.
And in the final few lines of his book, he said, most adoptive people believe that it's every government's tacit intention to deny till we die. And that's really a most sinister and cynical approach for government to take.
Okay.
And they need to sort that out.
Okay, well, I hope to be talking to you and things have changed and all them redactions are corrected in new legislation sooner rather than later. But it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I hope to talk to you again and things have improved in the future. Thank you very much, Susan.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. And that's Susan Long, co-founder of Adoption Rights Alliance, and you can look up Adoption Rights Alliance, Adoption Rights Alliance, all together, .com. It's all one word, Adoption Rights Alliance, and it's all one word. And thanks again to Susan for that. Goes to show you what we just don't know, doesn't it?